I'd like to begin this morning by asking the question, are you attractive? Are you attractive? Are you good looking? You might be thinking, is he going to talk about my shape and size and weight and height? Is he going to talk about my hair color, my length of hair, or the shortness of my hair? Are you attractive? In the scripture reading of Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, if you'll look at that again that Brandon had, Paul is writing about servants, but it's true of all Christians, that they were to adorn the doctrine of God. They were to put on the gospel and wear it so that people could see that in their lives. The word adorn there from the Greek word cosmeo, we get our English word cosmetics from that. It means to put on and arrange in a good way where things are looking good, to adorn. It was used in the New Testament of people who would adorn their homes, the inside of their homes, and make it look attractive. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus uses the word where he says, you adorn the tombs or the graves. You ever go to a cemetery and put flowers there? You ever do that? You're making that tombstone look nice and all of that. He used it in Matthew 23 for that. But then he said, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. To adorn, to make something look good, to make something look nice. That's the word that is used in Titus 2 verse 10. We are to put on the gospel or the doctrine of God and wear that. And it's to show Christ in our lives. Are you attractive? Am I attractive? Attraction is really something that is very popular, especially in our world of advertising. If you look at TV commercials, what is used to sell a product today? A very attractive woman, whether it's a car or a host of other products. We've got the Price is Right game shows, the attractive hosts out there. Attractive women are used to sell products. Why? Because you start looking at that and then you're interested in what's being sold in that commercial. So your eye catches something and then it draws you into what is being discussed, and that's what commercials are all about. What's interesting is that sometimes products that hurt us and that are very contrary to us, because they're labeled well, people get sucked into using them. Liquor makers will sell their product with a very attractive bottle, nice looking bottle, decanter, and it's got a nice label on it. Inside will kill you. That liquid inside will kill you. It'll hurt you. But it's in this attractive thing. And so people get drawn to it by the attractiveness of it. Back in the 70s when I was a kid, I remember, this is, the young people today have never seen this. You've never seen a cigarette commercial, have you? Never seen a cigarette commercial. Remember a long time ago they used to have cigarette commercials. And back in the 50s and 60s when things were still black and white, there would be these attractive women and men dressed up and they're holding a cigarette and it was a cigarette commercial. Now when I came along in the 70s at color commercials, it was the Marlboro Man. And being born and raised in Texas, that was pretty cool to see a cowboy out riding on a horse. Man, that's neat. You know, he's got that big old hat on. Well, he's out there smoking, and it was commercials for the Marlboro Man. They're this tough guy, and he's riding on a horse, good looking guy. The mountains are in the background, you know, and he's got that rope and real nice looking saddle, the Marlboro Man. And he's, you know, buys cigarettes. Well, they don't show you the Marlboro Man many years later whose lungs were just black with tar and he's sick and he's got emphysema and he's all, his skin is all dried up and cracked from smoking and all. They don't show you that. Whether it's alcohol or cigarettes or a lot of other things, what you do is you slap an attractive label on it and that gets you going toward that product. So attraction really is a very powerful thing. Satan uses that approach, the lust of the eye. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, notice what the text says. She saw that it was good for food. She saw that. She's looking at that. There was an attraction there. And he played on that and preyed on that. These are all things in a bad way. We're going to talk this morning about attraction in a good way. Attraction is very powerful, and we need to use that as a Christian. We need to make Christianity attractive by the way we live. We're going to talk about it in a positive way this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. The very thing that we're talking about this morning is actually discussed by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. The particular scenario here is a godly woman, a Christian, who is married to a non-Christian. And Peter says that it is possible for that non-Christian man to actually be drawn to the gospel and to the word by the way his wife is living. And he's attracted to that by looking at her and seeing her godly living. He's drawn to the gospel. Now, that doesn't say that he can be saved without the gospel, but that says that by her living, he sees that gospel in her and wants to come and be like that himself. That's the very thing we're going to be talking about this morning. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. In like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that they may, without the word, be gained by the behavior of their wives. Even if any obey not the word, that is the gospel, the word of God, they may, without a word from the woman, be gained by the behavior of their wives. He's going to be attracted more to the gospel by looking at her as she is living that out in her life. Look at the phrase in verse 1, gained by the behavior of their wives. That's attractive. And he's not talking about outward physical attraction. He's talking about inward beauty, as he goes on to say, look at verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of hair or wearing of jewels or gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, look at it, in the incorruptible apparel. This is the inside clothing, if you will. The incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, where you draw people to Christ through your attraction, not physical attraction, but by living the proper Christian life. It's very important, and it's something that is very moving and effective, as we see in commercials and other kinds of things. We have the truth of the gospel. We have Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But that will not attract people if our Christian living is not right. When we have the truth of the gospel but are not attractive in our Christian living, people will, like going to a restaurant, they'll lose their appetite. What if you had a special date coming up, maybe an anniversary, a birthday, something like that, and you're going to go to a special restaurant, and somebody says, you know, you really need to go to such and such restaurant. The food is awesome. Great. You get there, you sit down, and you've been told about how great this food is. You can't wait to sample it. And here comes your server, and they put their hand up, and they've got dirt under their fingernails. They kind of smell a little bit. And you kind of take it, and you look down, and there's some bread there, and on the butter, there's some a hair there. And there goes a little roach running across the table. And you look over there, and there goes a rat over in the corner. And you're like, well, I just lost my appetite. This is not attractive at all. Maybe we should get up and leave. That's what goes on with us. When we're not acting right as a Christian should act, nobody's going to be attracted to Christ. Nobody's going to want to sit there and say, you know, give me more of Christ. Give me more of what you have. They're not going to be attracted to that. You know, there's some places where we expect that and we don't get all grossed out. When I go to the mechanic, and this happened just the other day, and he comes out and shakes my hand and he's got grease all over it, I expect that. I mean, that's supposed to be the setting in a garage, you know. But not in a nice restaurant. And we have Christ, and we're to be giving Him to the world. But it's like going to a dirty restaurant. Our words and deeds and actions are just making them lose their appetite. So I want to talk about this morning how that we are supposed to make Christianity attractive. We make a Christianity attractive, first of all, by our good works. Jesus said that when we are the salt of the earth, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that they see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. They behold our behavior, our good behavior. We're to abstain from fleshly lust as we go through this life. And we're to do that which is right. And people will behold those that good behavior in us. There's so much selfishness in the world. There's so much where people, like the priest and the Levite, they just walk by on the other side. They don't care about. Let's stop and do some people some good works, and that will attract others. So many are just, I'm just going to think about myself, and I've got my life. And so much of Christianity is selfish. That's not attractive. Selfishness is not attractive. Not helping others, that's not attractive. That's ugly. There's so many good works that we could be doing at our job, school, community, friends, others. We can stop and do good deeds. In our world today, it's all about me and in my life. And I'm not going to be the good Samaritan and stop and help you. I'm going to pass by on the other side. I got stuff I got to do. But do people good works. And you know, it's attractive. And people stop and take notice. We want to make Christianity so attractive that someone says, I need Christ like you have. Love. Turn with me to John 13:35. And it's the love that Jesus talks about, the love that serves and the love that sacrifices. We're in a world that is hateful and spiteful, and some maybe even who claim to be Christians do those kinds of things. That's ugly. That's not attractive. We live in a very hateful world. There's a lot of war and hate and hurting people. We need the bright light of just being loving and caring towards someone. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's attractive. I'm going to see that, and they're going to say, you know, that's a disciple of Jesus. The reason I put the 1 Samuel passages up there, do you remember the difference between Saul and his son Jonathan? Saul was all about hate and anger and let's try to kill David. And Jonathan's like, wait a minute. David's a good person. And Jonathan was a close friend of his. And Jonathan was even at odds with his father on that matter. Which was attractive and which was ugly? And so we need to show love. And that is a sacrificial, serving kind of love. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I have given you, that you love one another. And then he defines what love is. Love is not just some sentimental thing up there that we're kind of, you know, mystical thing. Even as I have loved you, that you also may love one another. He was about to go to the cross. This is right before going to the cross. You love how? Sacrificially and serving, just like I've done with you, and I'm about to show ultimately that by going to the cross. When we have that in our life each day, that makes Christianity attractive. But the anger and the wrath and the hate and the spite and the revenge and what goes on every day out in the world, that's not going to attract people to Christ. Love makes Christianity attractive. Do you know that our good speech makes Christianity attractive? That should be Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good unto edifying, as the grace may have need, or as the time may suffice, depending on your version. My version says that it may give grace to them that hear, or for edifying as the need may be, depending upon your version. There's a proper need here, and I need to say that which is best at the right moment. We live in a world, and including some Christians, and by foul mouth, don't think just four-letter words or taking God's name in vain. I mean lying, I mean gossip, slander, backbiting, any of those things. Don't let that come out of our mouth. There's too much of that in the world as it is. We're never going to attract people to Christ with that kind of a mouth. Saying bad things about our parents.
to others. We get in a group of kids and cutting up, having a good, well, my mom is this and my dad is that. That's not right. That's not attractive.
Colossians 4, chapter 6. We're to have our speech seasoned with salt. Let our speech be always with grace. That's thankfulness and blessing, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
The other's ugly. This is attractive. Speech, good speech out of our mouth makes Christianity attractive. It's just like the commercial. It's just like the other things we talked about at the beginning of the lesson. No one is going to want to come to Christ unless they see in us that which attracts them.
Look with me at Philippians chapter 1, what the Apostle Paul said. I love this passage there. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, that with all boldness, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. It's like putting a magnifying glass over me, and what this big old image that comes out is Christ.
And that's going to attract people. Do you know that we're getting more and more in a society where the first contact that people are making with Christianity is you. It's not even the Bible. There are so many people that don't have a Bible, that have one, that don't read it. They've never cracked it open. You are the first impression. I am the first impression. In the old days, people would read their Bible and study their Bible, and they'd have a good picture of Christianity by reading their Bible. But we're becoming biblically illiterate in this world, and people just aren't reading their Bible much anymore. So at work or school or other places, the first taste of Christianity is not their Bible, it's you and it's me. Are we attractive? And we need to be living in such a way that we're making Christianity attractive. And then when they say, hey, you know, there's something in you young people that I want to have, then there's time for Bible study. And we have to study the Bible. That's what saves. The gospel saves. We have to get that Bible open. But often you and I are that first contact. And so let us be making Christianity attractive. It is beyond me how people continue to convert to Islam in the face of all the ugliness that it's presented in society. Why would we want that? Why would we want to have a part of that? And yet, in some weird and warped way, people are converting to that, and we read about radicalizing to that. That's ugliness. That's killing. That's death. It's wrong. And yet, well, I want to go over to that. That's not Christianity. And you know, there were times in history where there were those who put a black eye on Christianity. You know, the Crusades would be a great example of that. Around 1000 AD, 1100 AD, 1200 AD, there were several Crusades where the Pope sanctioned killing and slaughtering people. And swords and shields with crosses on it. That's not Christianity. Jesus said, put your sword away, Peter. The Pope was saying, get it out and kill people. That was the picture of Christianity during that time. It's a black eye. And who would want to convert to that? And so there have been times when Christians, those who have claimed to be Christians, are not acting right. And it's hard to get away from that. But what we can do is we can live right. Do you know that unity is what makes Christianity attractive? Nobody wants to come to division and fussing and fighting and carrying on. That's why Paul said to the church at Corinth, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The very thing that he leads off with in this letter, where there are several problems that need to be corrected, one of the first things that he leads off with is, you people are divided. Some say I am of Paul, some say I'm Apollos. There was a report from the household of Chloe that there are contentions among you. Well, who in the world in Corinth would want to be a member of that church? Oh, I would just love to go to be a member of the church at Corinth. They're fighting over there. Nobody wants that. That's not attractive. And so he cleans that up and clears that up right at the very beginning. Stop being divided. And there's a lot of division. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. It's good and pleasant. It's attractive. And Jesus said in John 17:20 and 21 that when you go out and you're all one, when you're all one, then the world will know that God sent me. It's attractive. In Acts 2:47, they were one, and it said that they had favor with all the people. When that first Jerusalem church started, there were people that saw that and were attracted to that, partly because of their unity. In Acts 4:32, they were of one mind and one heart. You see, that brings people to Christ. People want that. And so we need to be unified here. And we need to work together. And we need to encourage one another, follow God's word together, and that type of thing. When there is divisive Christianity, that's just not attractive. Peace of mind. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. When we get up each day and there's all these problems in the world, we have peace of mind. That doesn't mean we ignore things that we need to do and challenging things that have to be done. But we have a peace of mind. We know that God is going to take care of us. We know that what is happening is for the best. We know that God will reward us. We know that God will comfort us. He'll answer our prayers. We have a peace of mind. In today's world, it's anxiety and turmoil and inner struggling and all kinds of problems. And many people are having to deal with that with prescription medicines and other kinds of things. Christians have peace of mind, because we know that we're living right with God. Here is Paul in a Roman prison, and he says that most of the brethren in the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God with fear. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. There's a lot of strife out there. There's a lot of fighting. And some were even doing that in trying to preach Christ. But Paul is in a prison and he's just serving God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, in nothing be anxious or worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ. Peace of mind, when people see that, well, why are you so at ease with life? Because I've obeyed the gospel and I'm right with God and I'm promised a home in heaven. Why aren't you all bent out of shape and bothered and strife and fighting and just, you know, problems every day? Why is it that you come to work or you come to school or whenever you talk to and you know, you seem to have a peace of mind about you? I'm serving Christ. And he loves me, and I'm following his word, and he's going to take care of me. Wow. But when we're unhappy, and there's strife, and envy, and jealousy, and faction, that's the work of the flesh. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. That's what the devil wants. Not only because we'll lose our own soul over it, but those are ugly things that keep people from wanting to come to Christ. And so it's a win-win situation for the devil. But in Galatians chapter 5:20, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parting, envying. And this is written to brethren in the churches of Galatia. When they're doing that, the townsfolk, they don't want to come to Christ with all that going on. And so, what is it? The fruit of the Spirit. Turn over a few verses. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. That's attractive. That's attractive. That's what makes Christianity attractive. Do you know that consistency makes Christianity attractive? In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "You bind heavy burdens on others and you won't even bear them." They were hypocrites. And turn with me to Romans chapter 2. When we claim to follow Christ and then we don't go out and do it, the world's going to see that, and that's not attractive. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, he's rebuking these Jews for telling others how to live, but they weren't applying their own advice to themselves. Verse 21, "You teach another
Do not steal, but do you steal? You say to a man, do not commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, and then you rob temples? Thou who gloriest in the law, through thy transgression of the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You're out there saying we're supposed to live a certain way, and you're not even living that way. And so the Gentiles, the people out here, they're blaspheming God. Why would I want to be like that if that's the type of person that they are? There are many religious people who claim to follow the Bible, and then they turn right around and reject what the Bible says. And we keep bringing up this matter of homosexuality that's been in the news. They pick up a Bible and they say, no, the Bible doesn't say that. But then they claim to follow the Bible. Nobody's attracted to that. And then when we claim to follow Jesus but we won't attend and other kinds of things like that, that's not attractive. Do you know that people out in the world, they don't know much about Christianity, but they know one thing, don't they? They know that church people get up on Sunday and do what? What do? They know that, well, they go to church somewhere. They don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but they know that church people usually get up on Sunday and go to church. And when they see us not doing that, then they're like, do I really want to be a part of that? If there's one thing that people out in the world know is that church people go to church on Sunday. And whether it's attendance or a host of other things, when we're living inconsistent lives, that's not attractive. So to make it attractive, we're consistent in our words match up with our deeds. Our preaching matches up with our practice. And there are brethren here that are doing that, and that's extremely attractive, and it will bring people to Christ. You keep that up. Devotion. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. You might wonder, well, why are we going back to this story? This story came to my mind with regard to this point. Why did Ruth want to go back home with her mother-in-law? You ever thought about that? And this is the passage that sometimes is read at weddings. Your God will be my God, and so forth. Why was that? Well, when Ruth was around her mother-in-law, she was so devoted to God that Ruth saw that. She saw that devotion and wanted to stick with that devotion and wanted to stay with that. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Naomi said, why don't you just stay in your own homeland so you can get another husband? No, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Don't leave me and return not from after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. She was a Moabite. But how did she learn about the true God of Israel? Through the devotion of her mother-in-law. And I want your God to be my God. She didn't see inconsistencies in Naomi's life. And she didn't see weakness. And she didn't see half-heartedness. She saw devotion in that woman's life. And she wanted to be with that. And I want to stay with that. And that's attractive. You stay devoted to serving Christ. I'm going to read my Bible and follow it. I'm going to be at the worship service every time the doors are open. I'm going to be right at school. I'm going to be right at work. I'm devoted to serving my God, and I'm not going to change that. And that's attractive. People want to go and be with that. I want to go with you. Why? Her devotion. Naomi's devotion. It's attractive. And we need to be like that in our service to Christ. Another thing that makes Christianity attractive is our constancy, where we're constant and we're unwavering. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. What made the people sit up and take attention with regard to Daniel, including the king himself? What makes people attractive or attracted to serving God? Being constant in our service. We're not going to make exceptions.
We're not going to have a Sunday morning only Christianity and then some way the rest of the week. But every day we are constantly serving God. We're not going to break the rules. We're not going to, well, I'm an exception and all that kind of thing. We're just going to do what God wants us to do every day. And we're constant. In Daniel chapter 6, when the king, the leaders were trying to get Daniel in trouble, and let's make a law that you can't pray to your God. And you remember the story about how that he was cast into the lion's den. And so the king makes this law that you can't pray to your God. Look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God as he had done aforetime. I'm just going to do what I've always done. I'm not going to change anything. Constancy is attractive. And so when he's thrown into the lion's den and God saves him from that, what do we find with regard to the king? Daniel chapter 6, turn with me to verse 25. The king wrote unto all the peoples, nations, and languages, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, the God of Daniel. Because Daniel attracted people to his God through his consistency. You fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Where did they learn that? Through the consistency of Daniel. And we could even include Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to bow down to that idol. But I'll tell you what, this seasonal Christianity and one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and sometime I'm hot and sometime I'm cold. That's not attractive. That doesn't bring anybody to anything. Nobody wants to be a part of that. So let us be constant in our service. Let's do our best. We're coming to the close of our lesson. Let's do our best. Half-hearted Christianity is not attractive. We don't want a half-hearted spouse. We don't want a half-hearted this or half-hearted that. Nobody wants to be around that. In Mark chapter 12, the widow put in all that she had. She gave, it was just 2 mites, but it was all that she had. She gave her best. And a couple of chapters later, when the woman comes to anoint Jesus' feet, she breaks the flask of oil, and Jesus said, she had done what she could. It was the best she could give me. Do your best. That's attractive. Work hard. Do your best. Be completely devoted to God. That's attractive. But when we're like, may serve God, may not serve God. No, nobody's attracted to that. And along the lines, in our last point then, let us be active. In the scripture reading that Brandon had earlier about adorning the gospel of God, putting on the gospel and showing that to others. The last verse there in verse 14 says, be zealous of good works. It's interesting in Titus. I wonder if there was a problem there where Titus was at of laziness. Because 4 times in just a few short verses, 4 times he talks about being zealous of good works. Somebody was probably being lazy. But lukewarm Christianity, where I let everybody else do all the work in the local church, and I'm not serving, I'm not active, that's not attractive. But when people see that I'm intimately active in the local church, I'm an active member and I'm always there, they want to be a part of that. We're not saying this morning that we leave the gospel out. What we're saying is we wear the gospel, we bring people to the gospel, we make it attractive. And so, as we close, it's important to make Christianity attractive. Paul said twice that we are to walk worthily of the gospel. We're to wear it and walk worthily according to it. People should want to come to Christ when they see us and hear us. So, let's go out this morning and make Christianity attractive. There is a world of all kinds of sin and problems and darkness and people acting the wrong way. We have to make Christianity attractive by living differently. Yesterday we were gone to Bowling Green. We've been gone all day. We come home. I hadn't been home probably 10 minutes. And I see the car coming around the driveway. It's my neighbor. I don't know it's my neighbor, but he gets out. He's hot. He is mad. His neighbor on the other side of him had been shooting guns and woke him up. For some reason, he decided to come over to me. And I still don't know why. But he came around the back of that car. He marched. I had just stepped off the porch, and here he comes, and he's right up in my face. And he's yelling. He says, "I know you're a preacher. I know you're a reverend. And I got some problems." And he started in, and he started poking on my chest. He was right up in my face. And I said, "Richard, you need to calm down. You need to back off and calm down." About 15 or 20 minutes later, he calmed down. But if I had just started poking on him and yelling at him and retaliating, that's not attractive. In fact, we're studying the Proverbs. A soft answer, what? Turneth away strife. And it did. The Bible works. He calmed down. But he was all mad. He was so mad that he said, if I catch you people out on Og Road, we're going to have a problem. He was very mad. Threatening, mad, poking on me. But, Richard, you know, we need to calm down. Now, I tried to make Christianity attractive. You've been in situations where you have to act in the right way and let people see Christ in you. Okay? So it's a real thing. It happens all the time. We have to make it attractive, or we can act in an ugly manner. And then what does he do when he drives away? Well, that preacher claims to be a Christian, and he just yelled at me, and he pushed me back. Why would I want to be a... You see that? And that's what the world's waiting for. Many of them are waiting for an excuse to say, well, I'm not going to have any part of that Christianity. Don't give them that. Make it attractive. And the right kind of good and honest hearts will actually be brought to Christ. Let's go out and show the world Jesus Christ. They need him most in order to be saved. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. You need to come repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ, or you need to come back as an erring child of God in some way. We would encourage you to do that. But we're going to leave this morning, and we're going to draw men to Christ through our good living. Let's do that, and we will have success. We want to do that with our children. We want to make Christianity attractive to our children. So as parents, we have to really watch that. But others as well, we want to bring to Christ, and it's by the good living that we have in our life. And I hope that this lesson has encouraged us along those lines. If you're subject in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?